FDR's sins were nowhere near those of Hitler or Mussolini. Some of this has to do with a man. FDR believed in America and the American way of life, or at least he firmly believed that he believed in them. He still stood for election, though he did violate the tradition that presidents only serve two terms. He respected the system, though he did try to castrate the Supreme Court. He was not a tyrant, though he did put over 100,000 citizens into camps on the theory that their race could not be trusted. There are good arguments to be had on all sides of these and other events. But one thing is clear. The American people could never be expected to countenance tyranny for too long. During wartime, this country has historically done whatever it takes to see things through. But in peacetime, the American character is not inclined to look to the state for meaning and direction. Liberals have responded to this by constantly searching for new crises, new moral equivalents of war. The former New Republic journalist J.T. Flynn was perhaps the most famous anti-Roosevelt muckraker of the 1930s. He loathed Roosevelt and was convinced that the New Deal was a fascist enterprise. He predicted that proponents of the New Deal and its successors would become addicted to crises to maintain power and implement their agendas. He wrote of the New Deal, "It is born in crisis, lives on crises, and cannot survive the era of crisis. By the very law of its nature, it must create for itself, if it is to continue, fresh crises from year to year." Mussolini came to power in the post-war crisis and became himself a crisis in Italian life. Hitler's story is the same, and our future is charted out upon the same turbulent road of a permanent crisis. But Flynn understood that while America might go down a similar road, it needn't be as bumpy a ride. He predicted that American fascism might manifest itself as a very genteel and dainty and pleasant form of fascism, which cannot be called fascism at all because it will be so virtuous and polite. Waldo Frank made a similar observation in 1934. The NRA is the beginning of American fascism, but unlike Italy and Germany, democratic parliamentarianism has for generations been strong in the Anglo-Saxon world. It is a tribal institution. Therefore, a fascism that disposes of it, rather than sharpens and exploits it, is not to be expected in North America or Britain. Fascism may be so gradual in the United States that most voters will not be aware of its existence. The true fascist leaders will not be present imitators of German Führer and Italian condottieri, prancing in silver shirts. They will be judicious, black-frocked gentlemen, graduates of the best universities, disciples of Nicholas Murray Butler and Walter Lippmann. I think it is clear that to the extent there's any validity to my argument at all, that fascism, shorn of the word, endures in the liberal mind, this analysis is true. We've been on the road to serfdom. We may still be on that road, but it doesn't feel that way.